Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Happy Tuesday to you. It is Jacob and Tommy. We're joined by TJ Cleveland here today, a three-man booth for Sports Daily, as we can officially turn the page into the NFL divisional round. We'll do that, especially with the Kansas City Chiefs. Executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network, Dan Israel, set to join us in the next hour. Looking forward to that conversation, as it's been a long time since we've seen the Chiefs play. Monday Night Football, featuring the last wild card game, is in the books. We can dig in just a little bit to Rams-Vikings. The job Tommy and I have been, you know, sort of pondering and goofing around with, the Dallas Cowboys job, is in fact open, and the circus is already here, and I'm here for that circus. It's a game night for both Wichita State and K-State, so we have a lot to get to today. You can get in touch with the program. You can call us on the KFH hotline, 869-1240. You can leave us your video comments on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. You can leave us your voice messages through the Odyssey app. Just push the little microphone there. All kinds of ways to get in touch with the program. Fellas, how are you?
Man, we're good. Ready to hang out here. I'm a little bit worried about TJ, to be honest with you. It's really early for him. I can see the bags under his eyes. I'm not sure he's going to make it.
When I left the apartment this morning, I felt like I was going to the airport, because that's the only time I leave the apartment this early. I'm fortunate to have a fiance that wakes up at 5 a.m., or I'd be a lot more questionable getting here at 7.
Yeah, I don't think you've had to work the graveyard shift in TV yet. Yeah, it's brutal. This is a cakewalk compared to our colleagues over at KWCH that work the morning shift. They're up and at them around midnight. That is a brutal shift. This one's not so bad. You just need to have a few kids, TJ, and then you're boom. You're right there on it. No big deal. Easy peasy.
The only morning shift I think I've ever worked was after some Super Bowls, and you get a little bit of momentum keeping you awake at that point. So Monday Night Football didn't keep the momentum going for me quite as much.
No, it didn't, because it wasn't very close, and we ended the wild card round with one essentially close game, and that was the Commanders game. So the Rams dominate the Vikings, I think, to the fear, but it's not like we couldn't see that coming. It's what's strange about it, I think, Tom, and you talked about it in your picks. Like, we all waited this year for Sam Darnold to show up, and he showed up in the finale, and then in that game, like, it's some of those things that we've seen forever. Like, dude, you can't hold the ball that long. Just throw it away. Like, it just mistake after mistake, just because he's holding the ball in the pocket. He lost a lot of money last night, and that's too bad for him, because he's had an incredible year, an MVP candidate. I hope he gets the chance to start somewhere next year. I still think for the Vikings, best case scenario is to franchise tag him. But, man, that's a bummer for Vikings fans. Shout out to all the Vikings fans, Brandon Zinner, who are out there right now, who had to suffer through that and could see that coming to some degree. But the other thing, I think the even bigger takeaway, Tommy, is that the Rams are white hot. Nobody's talking about them. That's a team that could absolutely make a run through the NFC.
Yeah, as far as Sam Darnold is concerned, I mean, he didn't get much protection at all. I mean, he was sacked 9 times, but some of that he held onto the ball way too long and made some really poor decisions in keeping the football. You know, so it was kind of a combination of both, and he was rattled, I think, from the finale against Detroit. That continued on against the Rams, you know, front four getting to him and all of that. So credit to L.A. I mean, they showed why they absolutely belong in moving on to the divisional round. And, you know, whether you're talking about what Kyren Williams can do in the backfield, Matthew Stafford, I mean, he started the game so hot. He was 10 of 10 to get things started. A lot of that was Tyler Higbee. We'll see what his status is moving forward because he was ruled out with an injury during the course of the game last night. But, you know, they really showed why they belong, and people should be talking about them more. Are they a championship contender type team this season? I'm not sure about that, but I certainly think they can win another game in the playoffs.
I'm not sure who I would say out of the NFC is definitively more a championship contender right now. I honestly, like, their best game, in which we probably saw last night, TJ, is playing that level of defense. But that offense has always been capable of this. They have a great running back, great run game, two, three great pass game weapons, and they have a future Hall of Fame quarterback there. If their defense, which has been young but I guess ascending, can play that way, I mean, I think they're at their best. I think they're better than the Eagles. I guess at their best, I would say I think they're better than anybody but the Lions, who are banged up right now. I think they can make a run. Stafford's their quarterback. And if the path goes through Detroit, ultimately, that's an indoor game. You know, the next one will be interesting for them. But I think the Rams are poised to do something special. And that's not to say I think they will. I just think they're right there with basically all the rest of the NFC teams.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was going to say whenever, you know, obviously Sam Darnold didn't have a great game, but, I mean, you kind of chalk up some of it to the Rams defense just kind of dominating through that one. I think I've got it pulled up here that the Vikings went 6-for-17 on third down and got sacked 9 times. So that's not just Sam Darnold. There's a lot of other components that are going into that as well. So I agree. I mean, I guess I wasn't familiar enough with the Rams defense to go out and do something like that. But, I mean, if they're going to do that, the offense doesn't even have to be great. They just have to be okay the rest of the way. And, you know, the NFC, I know that everybody's talked about that they wouldn't be surprised if there was a single team that went to the Super Bowl in that one. 1-7, they're all really, really good teams. And obviously the Rams have Sean McVay. They have Matthew Stafford. They've got so many huge pieces that people talk about in the NFL. So they've got the DNA to do it. So it's going to be a tough road the next two to get there, but they're going to be a really tough team to beat.
They got blitzed by Philadelphia, Tommy, the last time they played them. But just like looking back at their last handful of games, and the finale didn't mean a lot for them. But you had they've allowed less than 10 points in if you know, basically in their last four meaningful football games. And one of those was against the 49ers, right? So it wasn't like they weren't in, and one was against the Cardinals. We just saw one against the Vikings. These are good offenses. They're shutting down. They're interesting. 6-point dogs, Philadelphia, not to spoil our picks. Look, I got the Eagles going to the Super Bowl. I don't think I like that line at all right now. Not the way they played last night. And then the Vikings have the other side of it. And there was always the question of what's happening with J.J. McCarthy. Look, I think that it best case for the Vikings fans, they can get Darnold franchised and ease McCarthy into it. But Darnold may not want that. I do think, Tommy, that he showed us enough that there are openings. There will be openings out there that, like, even if you do get your quarterback in the draft, I don't know. I think Darnold deserves a chance certainly to start next year. It's just hard to imagine at this moment where that might be.
Well, I think he's going to be an upgrade, you know, for multiple teams that are pretty quarterback needy. I look at a team like if the Jets don't bring back Aaron Rodgers, what could happen there? I mean, I know that Darnold was there before and it didn't work out, but maybe that's a redemption story. That might be, you know, one place you could maybe look at. Or you know, a team like the Raiders, that would be an upgrade at quarterback, you know, from what they had in Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell this year. But I do think for Sam Darnold, I mean, he's obviously going to test the market and see what's out there. But I think ultimately for him, I do think the best scenario would be to get franchised by the Vikings. You showed that you can win games there and you can be kind of that bridge to J.J. McCarthy. He was already that way, but I think if you can give it a little bit more time, that may be at least a decent way to get your value back up in Minnesota before you hit the market again.
Could you imagine, what can I get my betting ticket at for a return of Rex Ryan and Sam Darnold the same year to the New York Jets?
I'm in. Count me in on that. I mean, that's a dumpster fire, and I'm all here for it.
For the dumpster fire. We can only handle one potential dumpster fire next year, and that's going to be for the Dallas Cowboys. We're going to talk about that opening when we return. We've been joking about it. I don't know how to look up old tweets or whatever it is on X, but I got to go back and look at my crazy conspiracy Cowboys theory from a long time ago and see how much of this is happening. I'll see if I can't dig that up. I have no idea how to do it, but I've got a few minutes to try and figure it out here during the break. We're coming back. It's Three Man Booth. It's Albrock. It's Caster. It's Cleland. Don't go away. Sports Daily. Come right back.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily here, and we are glad to be with you. Mornings at KFH, staff enjoys a great cup of coffee from Prairie Fire Coffee. We appreciate their support. All right, I couldn't find all my conspiracy theory delight from, I don't know when that was, probably like October or something, but it basically started this way. And the Cowboys, they do it, but the next stages of this, in order to get primed to Dallas, would be to trade Dak Prescott away in order to draft Shedeur Sanders, trade that $60 million a year contract away, which of course will never happen. So the Shedeur Deion combo in Dallas won't happen. But would Deion coach the Cowboys? Is the Cowboys, you know, they can't just do it in simple terms, but they break up with Mike McCarthy, something they should have done a year ago. They do it now. McCarthy will probably get another head job and probably deserves it, quite frankly. But I don't think he was the right fit in Dallas. So who does Dallas turn to now? You guys buying into, Tommy, the prime to Dallas thing that we all so desperately want to see?
Well, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. I mean, this would be the biggest thing in the world. And I know that Adam Schefter reported that Jerry Jones and Deion had talked. Like, you know, they've had a conversation, and I think it's more than likely probably going to happen. I think the thing that Jerry's going to have to be okay with is knowing that he's not going to end up being the top story with the Cowboys if Deion comes in. Now, if things go off the rails, then you're obviously absolutely going to hear a lot more from Jerry during that time. But at least to get going, you're going to have to put Deion up on that pedestal from day one, and Jerry's going to have to kind of be in the background. And if Jerry's okay with that to get going, then I think it's going to happen.
I mean,
I don't think this will happen. I wish it would, but I don't think it will.
I think it definitely could happen. I know that there was a lot of speculation about, you know, he's not going to coach somewhere where his kid isn't, and that was the whole thing in college, and that was what was going to take to get him to go pro, is that if you drafted Shedeur, you would get Deion along with it. I think that if you pay him enough, I think that Deion cares enough about himself as well that he would put all that aside and he would go be the head coach of America's team, because that would feed right into the Deion Sanders narrative and everything like that. I think that a part that I feel like a lot of people aren't talking about, and I guess it hasn't even come down from the, you know, national media smoke or anything like that, but you know, the Las Vegas Raiders have an opening and they have the fourth overall pick, and there's a lot of smoke that Shedeur could end up there. I think that if the Cowboys want Deion and Deion is going to be an NFL coach, they've got to do it before the draft, or they've got to do it before those talks start happening. Because if Vegas says, we're going to draft your kid if you come here, then I think that that's a lot more appealing to him than it would be to coach the Cowboys without his kid and coach Dak Prescott, in my opinion.
Hey, you know, they also could always trade Dak to the Titans, who have the number one overall pick.
My wish list, yes.
And you could have the Tennessee Titans be, you know, the team that had the service of Dak.
They'll not be doing that.
They're probably
The Titans have nobody of note on that roster. Like, they're going to trot out.
That's why you don't trade
Will
for
Levis
million.
And Mason Rudolph, right. You know, as their quarterback. Right. So I mean,
they're not close enough where Dak puts them over the edge.
Look, but if you're Tennessee, would you rather have Dak as your quarterback, or would you rather draft a rookie? Like, would you rather draft Shedeur? Like, I feel like at least you know, like, what Dak can bring you, where you don't really know what Shedeur can do.
Here's how I would ask that question, or here's how I'd think about that question if I was Tennessee. Will Dak in 4 years take us to a Super Bowl? Because if not, I'm not willing to pay him $60 million a year. And so I would rather, if I'm the Titans, build around, if I believe in one of the young quarterbacks, I would much rather do that than pay $60 million a year for a quarterback who's not going to take me to the Super Bowl. If Dak can't take the Cowboys roster to the Super Bowl, he's not taking the current state of the Titans roster to the Super Bowl. So I wish that would happen. I think that would be fun. Here's what I think is going to happen. I think Prime is leveraging. I think he's going to stay in Colorado. I think the better chance would be the Raiders. I agree, but Tom Brady's in charge of that job. This is his, I think his neck's on the line with this probably more than people are talking about. It sounds like he was sort of the driver for them to step away from Antonio Pierce and their GM. I highly doubt Brady is comfortable with that sort of a risky move. Could work. I think it could definitely work. I think Prime could be a really good NFL coach, but I highly doubt that Brady's interested in that. I think that Prime is leveraging a new deal in Boulder. I really think he likes it there, and I bet you he's the Colorado coach next year.
Well, and you know, you just mentioned, can Dak lead the Cowboys to a Super Bowl in 4 years, right? And if the answer is no, then why is Deion going to take that job?
Well, I think
why would anybody want to take that job?
Dak with the Cowboys is different than Dak with the Titans. They won 12 games back to back years. I do think, look, when you gave Dak that deal, you're all in there. Like, you don't have a choice now if you're Dak. Like, you have to push them all in. And the other thing is, like, I don't want, this isn't like a bash Dak Prescott segment for me. Dak's been a fine NFL quarterback. And I think in the perfect circumstances, you could see a path for him as much as a lot of NFL quarterbacks. They had a ton of injuries this year. They didn't do anything to help themselves in the offseason. That has to change. And I think that, you know, if they can get back to the level of defense that we've seen from them, and they have some really talented defensive players, I do think a coach could step in there and maybe turn it around. Right now, according to bookies.com, which I know nothing about, so take these with a grain of salt, but it's the first thing I could find. Joe Brady, the Bills OC, is the odds-on favorite. Prime is the second odds-on favorite. They've got Prime at 6-1. Kellen Moore, excuse me while I remove the vomit from my mouth a little bit here, as a Cowboys fan, is the third odds-on favorite. Bobby Slowick, who's been really popular. Ben Johnson, of course, who is the most popular. The one I really do think you should watch is Jason Witten. And then it goes on down the list. But I don't know what the Cowboys will do, but if we stack up the odds to win right away for all the jobs right now in the NFL side by side, the Cowboys is the best job. That's the best job out there. And I love the Bears job, but the Bears have that division and the Cowboys don't have that division. The Cowboys have that division where different teams come out of that division every year. I would much rather try to play my way through the NFC East than I would the NFC North. I don't think there's any question about that. I think the NFC North's arrow in totality is way, way better. At least you have the Giants in the East. The North doesn't have anybody to beat up on. And I do think Dak with CeeDee Lamb and an ascending offensive line and Micah Parsons, assuming they get him back and some players back from injury this year, like that's a pretty turnkey job. If your goal is to win right away, you can do worse than Dak Prescott in some of these other jobs that are open out there.
I think that it's you're right. You know, every time that you're going to take a job as a head coach, it's because you're walking into a situation where something went wrong, and this is probably the best one that, you know, we've seen. The Cowboys were a playoff team last year, and they're a really good team. You know, and then they don't get a running back. They kind of just sit free agency out, and then everything just kind of falls is the way it goes. But, you know, early this season, we were talking about how good this team could be and everything like that. So I think that you go out, you know, they're probably going to draft Ashton Jeanty if they can get him. I know they want him really bad. So
better not.
It's going to be a pretty good situation. You know, obviously, if you walk into a situation and you have Micah Parsons on your defense, you have CeeDee Lamb on your offense, it's the best that you can get in the NFL this season. It's the best that I can remember in a recent memory as well.
I mean, did you guys not catch what the best quarterback outside of Roger Staubach for the Cowboys, Troy Aikman, said last night about that job? I mean, he said it wasn't a job that people will covet, that it's a high-profile job. We absolutely right. know that it is, but he said it's not a job that is coveted by people around the league for a variety of reasons. I mean, knowing the way that your 82-year-old owner operates the team, knowing the way that you have locked in $60 million on a franchise quarterback that, yeah, has been able to take you to the playoffs, but there is no faith at all that he can win you a championship. I could see a lot of coaches out there, potential head coaches in the league, being like, yeah, thanks, no thanks. Like, I don't know if I want the circus going on with it. And I understand the whole argument about the division and everything that you said. But remember, the Eagles went to a Super Bowl a couple of years ago. They're one of the best teams in the conference. The Commanders just won a playoff game. They're on the come up with Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn. And Dan Quinn's been in Dallas. He knows how to beat the Cowboys. I know that the Giants are a big-time issue and at the bottom of the league right now. But, man, it's not going to be a cakewalk for any coach. I don't care if you're Deion or Jason Witten or Ben Johnson. It's going to be a tough sled for you because you're saddled with a quarterback that has not shown any kind of propensity to take you to a championship.
But this essential roster in two of the last 4 years has won that division with 12 wins each time. No,
the search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
You've been embarrassed in the playoffs. Division.
Right, exactly. No, I don't disagree with that, but would you rather have that or the Saints' job? You know, would you rather have that or
I'm not saying the Cowboys' job is all the way down at the bottom of the list. I'm just not sure that it's at the very top either. Like, I think the Bears is a more
I think the Bears is the
job.
Only one in the conversation because you get Caleb Williams.
I mean, I think that, you know, you could the kind of where I rank the Cowboys' job around the league is, I mean, I would probably put it on par with Jacksonville because you've got an incumbent quarterback in Trevor Lawrence that is probably around the same level as Dak as far as what he can show. Dak hasn't shown that he can win when it matters the most, and neither can Trevor Lawrence. Like, neither one of those guys have shown that. You know, and at least with Jacksonville, you're away from the circus, and you can kind of do what you want to do in relative obscurity, and the expectations are not going to be through the roof for you from day one.
Well, I mean, it's what kind of challenge are you looking for? Trevor Lawrence is, I hate that I sometimes come across as a Dak. I'm not a Dak hater. I'm a Dak fit with McCarthy, and it's not going to work. Trevor Lawrence, I mean, he's never had a season that touches some of Dak's best seasons. I mean, some of Dak's best seasons are incredible. He led the league in touchdown passes a year ago. His completion percentage is high. He doesn't throw a ton of interceptions most of the time. He's just not a gamer, but neither is Trevor Lawrence or really any of these quarterbacks for jobs that are open, or they wouldn't have open jobs. And so I think, yes, I do think Dak can succeed at a high level in a perfect situation. Mike McCarthy was not that. Mike McCarthy got out coached in big games far too often. You have to have a strong running game. Like if you could, and this has been the Cowboys problem for two decades, like Tony Romo never had any defense, right? And then he hands it off to Dak Prescott, who's learning and ascending while they have a really good defense. And then as Dak sort of gets really good and they have all their weapons, their defense isn't good. They can never get it all at the same time. But I think Dak is an above average NFL quarterback. And that's hard to find in the NFL. I mean, it is, especially when you're looking for jobs. So which kind of coach is going to take the job, I think, is what you look at. If I'm one of these young coaches taking their first shot in the NFL, I'm not sure Dallas is my favorite job. But the one thing that you get offered some security in is you have your quarterback. Look at what just happened to Antonio Pierce. Go look at all the coaches that were just fired. What do they all have in common almost universally? Is they don't have a quarterback. And so you can take this job where at least you have a quarterback. And maybe you don't win the Super Bowl in the first 4 years with Dak, but maybe you have a really good run and you build up enough credit, basically, to then transition. It's a risky job, But I do think it's the highest upside job. And I know the Cowboys and Mike McCarthy just broke up for various reasons, but look at how long they dealt with Jason Garrett going 500, right? Like Jerry Jones will deal with that stuff for a long time. A guy like Ben Johnson's interesting. Does he want the high profile or does he just want a coach? A coach that just wants to coach, Dallas isn't a bad job because Jerry Jones will always take the attention away for you. You don't have to deal with it. I don't know. I think it's a better job, but you do have Jerry Jones there. And I think that's what Troy Aikman's talking about is you have Jerry Jones there. And he's undercutting you every other week with what he says, but you can almost ignore it. I wish they would go see if they could get Mike Tomlin pried away from the Steelers. That'd probably be my top choice and Prime, because I think Prime would be so entertaining, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think Prime's staying in Colorado, TJ. I don't think he's leaving.
I mean,
do you like the Cowboys job the best of the jobs open?
Yeah, absolutely. I do. I think that it's a better job than the Bears job. Obviously, I think the only one that we haven't talked about that has already been filled is the Patriots job would be a really good job as well, because you have Drake May and the number four pick. I mean, you've got space.
What are they going to do with the number four pick that helps them? Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. You can do like something with it. You got more capital than most of the other jobs that you can get. So I don't know. I think that's a solid fit there for Mike Vrabel as well. I think that, you know, obviously everybody's going to talk about Deion and the circus that comes along with it. But you talked about it, Jacob. The Deion's a good coach.
He surrounds himself with really good coaches. That's what he does.
Yeah, and you look at what he did at Colorado, and everybody wondered, you know, it's just like, how is this team, like why are they so bad when they have two guys that were in Heisman contention? And it was like, because they only had two guys that were in Heisman contention, and that was about, and they had a couple wide receivers and everything like that, but it really wasn't a great team. I think that if you put him in a situation where he doesn't have to recruit, because he openly said he's not going to go on the road and recruit these kids. He's not going to go to their houses because that's not what he's going to do. Obviously, he didn't recruit the best. He got a bunch of transfer guys. I think he had a whopping zero high school commits this past year, I believe. So I think that if you take something out of his hands and you let the front office do it, granted, the Cowboys didn't do anything this offseason. So if the front office does something for his team, it's going to be a good enough team. And I think that he's going to be a great coach to you know, help Dak Prescott. Obviously, he did it with his kid. I think that he can help Dak Prescott and help this offense coming from a defensive back, but I think he's a good offensive mind.
I think obviously the $1 million question, or really the $60 million question with Dak, is that can Deion come in, and let's just say this roster stays relatively the same, because we know Jerry doesn't really do a whole lot in free agency. Players walk, and then he doesn't really do a whole lot. Or if he does, it doesn't end up working. So let's just say that the roster is what it is. Can Prime come in and win you a Super Bowl?
With the defense healthy and the number 12 pick, and his propensity to bring in good coaches around him, he's got as good a shot as any, I think. I don't know if anybody can. But I think he's got as good a shot as any. Look, if there was a culture issue with McCarthy, and it was weird, I don't think anybody's better at that than Prime. Like, nobody walks into an NFL locker room and commands more respect than Deion Sanders. So I think that's a check in his box. I do think with a good draft, they could and health. They've had a ton of injuries. Like they did just unlucky this year. Maybe. No, they don't need to draft Ashton Jeanty. They need help in the running back room, but don't use your number 12 pick on that. But use it on something better than that.
Like what?
The best running back. You know, their offensive line. Their offensive line got a little better. I think they have. You know, assuming Cook stays and their pass catchers stay, I think they're okay there. I would use it on a premier defensive player if I can get one, whether it's in the secondary. They honestly don't even really need, they with Overshown there, if he's back healthy, and I don't know when he'll be back. Like, they have a decent pass rush with Parsons. They've missed a team that drafted really well over the last 15 years has missed the last couple of years, and it's really hurt them. So they can't do that again. But it's more about like who would Prime bring with him, right? What offensive coordinator can he get in there to get the best of Dak Prescott? And Dak got hurt this year. I mean, Dak led the league in touchdown passes 2 years ago. It's not like Dak is struggling. He's not. He got hurt. And, who can help him win a playoff game? Well, can they run the ball and can they play good defense? And then Dak pick you apart with arguably the best receiver in football. At least the guys in the top five are in the conversation. Maybe. I don't think it's going to work. I don't think anybody's going to work. I think they should have blown this thing up 2 years ago. But you have to try now. You paid Dak $60 million. Like, you have to try. So you might as well swing for the fences and go after a guy like Prime.
I think that the biggest thing with this is that you're not hiring a coach. I mean, you're obviously hiring a coach to try to win a Super Bowl, but when you look at what the Cowboys have done, it's not like you're trying to replace Andy Reid, like the Chiefs are going to have to do in a couple of years to not lower the standard. They aren't a team that's competed that deep in the playoffs since I remember watching the Cowboys. It's not like you're picking a coach to go be a perennial Super Bowl champ.
Yeah, it's been in your lifetime, unfortunately, for some of us. It's been a minute. 869-1240 is that number to call. We're coming back. We'll look ahead to a couple of these college basketball games tonight. More to gain, more to lose. Shockers, Wildcats, both in a bad spot. We'll talk about it next on Sports Daily.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
You want to win some HTO, a free iced tea, and a free coffee drink, including root beer and root beer tea lattes. You can enter a contest to win one of each right now. Just text the keyword tea to the short code 20357. You can get one of each of those at either Wichita location or in Derby. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Again, that's tea to 20357. Welcome back into Sports Daily. Thanks, everybody, for listening to us here on KFH or on the Odyssey app. Thanks for watching us on our video stream, Facebook, YouTube X. It's Jacob Albrock. It's Tommy Caster. It's TJ Cleland. We're getting ready for a college basketball game night that, I got to be honest, it's not as exciting as we maybe thought it was going to be to have something like that on a Tuesday night, because we've got two programs in free fall right now in Wichita State and K-State. We spent a little time with each yesterday, both playing at home tonight. Wichita State's a 10-point favorite against Charlotte. K-State is a 6.5 home dog against Texas Tech. Fellas, these have been, one, a nightmare season, I think, for K-State, and then a nightmare stretch, at least to open AAC play for Wichita State. I think the Shockers are harder to figure because K-State, we've seen this sort of coming for a while. Wichita State's is kind of out of nowhere the last few weeks as to where they were early in the season. I think that bigger picture, and I'll get y'all's take on this, Tommy, bigger picture for me, the greater concern is with Wichita State. K-State, if this season continues to fall apart, they are the correct NIL class away from turning it around in 1 year, right? Like that's, I don't think that's completely unreasonable or out of the question. They just ponied up that way. This season, it's not working. Wichita State, to me, creates a much greater danger because, A, they're not going to be putting together that kind of NIL class. I think that pipe dream dies with every unsuccessful year, and I think it will be harder to get back for them what they are losing over these past couple of years with these really bad conference seasons.
I think the one thing that you are leaving out, though, about Kansas State, and I'm not suggesting you're minimizing the concern there, but what you haven't mentioned is that I think even though they probably are one NIL class away from turning it around, it does call into question the abilities of Jerome Tang to be the one to shepherd that, to bring in.
They can make that change.
You're right, but then you're going through a head coaching search or doing all of that, and I don't think that, Gene Taylor especially is quite at the point to, entertain pulling the plug on Jerome Tang in Manhattan. At least I don't think so. I haven't heard the indication that he is, but I think it does does call into question though. They might be one NIL class away from getting it right, but can Jerome Tang be the person to go ahead and get the next NIL class for that to be successful for Kansas State?
No, I think that those questions are being asked about both of these programs.
Sure.
By just about everybody. I can tell you, TJ, I was up in Manhattan for the game this weekend, and it's that's what people ask me, and I'm like, guys, I don't know what to tell you. They're asking that same question about Wichita State because that's what we do when there are struggles. Wichita State is not poised for anything like that, and quite frankly, in fairness, it's too early there for something like that, I think. It's really, when it comes to K-State, it's how much goodwill did you bring up with an Elite Eight run? And I'm telling you guys, like K-State, like I don't even know they still don't have, unless you consider Cincinnati, who again is 0-4 in Big 12 play, they still don't have a good win this season. Like, not any of them. Wichita State has several. I think Wichita State's chances to turn this around and be okay the rest of the way are far, far higher than K-State's.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that, you know, you talked about that. That's only what people want to talk about. And it's true that, you know, if you talk to anybody on the street about Shocker basketball or K-State basketball, if a team is struggling, they're going to ask, you know, what's the buyout? You know, what's it going to take for this to happen?
That's what we do with any college
and it's
basketball.
True. And I'll say, you know, I know you said at the beginning of the segment here that, you know, it's not as exciting as we wanted it to be. I think for me, maybe it's a college basketball sicko. I think that the more that these teams go into free fall, the more entertaining it gets because you get to see what the thought process is behind the athletic directors, behind the fan support, behind these coaches. What are you going to change? What are you going to do differently? And I think that tonight's a huge night for Wichita State. You get a team at home, you're 10-point favorites. You've basically been 10-point favorites the past two or three games, I believe. I think you're underdogs at Temple. It's so interesting, and it's just, I don't know, because you said, Jacob, I agree with the sentiment that you said that it's kind of a bigger deal that Wichita State's going into free fall right now because this is a team that has like 8 or 9 seniors on it. You're not going to have this team back next year. It's not like you're building towards anything with this group. If this doesn't work, Paul Mills is going to have to start over one way or another, and the only thing that you can get from this group
start over without the NIL resources of a program like K-State. And that's what makes that, right? I mean, there is also the, you know, there's also the argument to be made that starting over, okay, like that's not that big a deal because they're not winning like they're supposed to. So we just talk about the and people that listen to the show know, like I'm a Cowboys fan, you know, for whatever that's worth, like less, like it doesn't, I lose or gain no joy anymore really with the Cowboys, but I'm a Cowboys fan. I can talk about those coaching searches and have fun with it and wish and, you know, have desire for changes and all that stuff. And it doesn't really impact things that happen with Wichita State and K-State impact us personally. And that does, like, we can all pretend like we're statues and we don't have, like, emotion involved in this job and we can just, oh, yeah, we'll just, you know, whatever. That's not the way it is. Like, you develop relationships, you like or dislike people on a personal level. This stuff sucks locally. Like, it's not fun locally to have to even entertain some of these conversations. And honestly, for Wichita State, we've been doing that since Shaq Morris came forward in a report. It's been uncomfortable consistently and constantly at Wichita State. Who should get the job in Greg Marshall's wake? Is it enough? Is he winning enough? Is that been enough? Now you make a change administratively. Now you make a change at coach. Is that coach doing a good enough job? Meanwhile, the fans just keep showing up less and less. Like, that sucks. I hate it. It's not fun. It's far less fun. Like, you can't even, it's hard not to get caught up in just how sad it makes you. Like, it makes me sad. I was sick to my stomach Saturday looking down and seeing what was happening against UTSA. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, this sucks. It sucks. Rick says that I always say Wichita State's in a good NIL spot because they don't have football. No, Rick, you're misquoting me. I say Wichita State should be in a good NIL spot because they don't have football. I don't think that should be is happening because they haven't been splashy in the NIL world yet. I don't, you know, here's what happens when we talk about NIL with Wichita State, Tommy. Compared to our peers, we're in a great place. But the reality is none of us think the peers are UTSA and Charlotte, right? Like, the peers are Memphis, if anybody, in the league. And then a level higher. That's what we all think of Wichita State. I don't think the NIL has reflected that yet, but that's where they should be.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that even back in the heyday of Shocker basketball, Final Four run, undefeated season, all of that, you were comparing, and when I say you, collectively, we were all comparing Wichita State to programs like Villanova and Xavier and Gonzaga and, you know, programs like that. You know, back in the Valley days, everybody had Wichita State on par with Creighton. You know, like that was kind of the benchmark for this program. Anybody think that the Shockers are anywhere near the quality of program of those, and I know Villanova has fallen off with Jay Wright, but still, like, I mean, I think from a you know, realistic perspective, it's nowhere near that right now, and it's nowhere near that from an NIL perspective. Obviously, it's nowhere near that from a quality of play on the court perspective, from a recruiting perspective, from a support in the community perspective. Like, it's not there right now, and can it get back? Sure, it can. But it really gets harder and harder with each game in a season that you had expectations higher and you're losing to clearly inferior opponents.
I think that the worst part about building on what Tommy said here, sorry, is what I said, it's a fully senior group, and the part that sucks the most about this for the Shockers and for Shocker fans is that if NIL was a thing 10 years ago, we wouldn't have this conversation today if you could go back in the time machine and start paying players back whenever they were in the Final Four and they were undefeated, because you know that the support that they had, it would be tenfold of NIL support for this program. And, you know, being a person that watches Shocker basketball, I don't want to donate my money towards a product that's not going to give me any return on investment, even if the investment is happiness. I'm not going to pay for a team to go lose games. And that's what sucks the most, is that this is a group that's full of seniors, and that's the only thing that they can really give you. Nobody expected this team to go make an Elite Eight run or anything like that. But if you can build a little bit of excitement with a group that's full of seniors, you can start filling the arena back up. Then that starts coming in, and then it helps you recruit more kids, and it's not going to happen. And frankly, they're going to have to go do this with a bunch of, you know, college freshmen and, you know, maybe junior college players next year, because you're going to have a completely new roster, and you're not going to have the excitement to go build a great one.
I think it's a good point. This was the bridge year, right? This was the year where they get back to the top, near the top of the American, and build that momentum. And that's still on the table, by the way. You know, that's the American is not daunting. There are two teams that we can definitively say are better in Memphis and North Texas, and that's it. Otherwise, Wichita State ought to be able to win every other game they play, no matter where they play it. Now, that's where they should be. They're obviously not there. I think we've seen that, or at least glimpses of that, at points this season. Let them get Ronnie DeGray back, see if he can cure whatever this defensive liability issue that's been there. Maybe. Like, their maybe is much higher than K-State's. But for Wichita State, it's not, to Rick's point, that they should be in a good... Look, they paid Greg Marshall top five money. Okay, that's what is out there. That's what they're capable of. I got here in 2014. And since then, Klee Anthony Early, Fred VanVleet, Ron Baker, Landry Shamet, Austin Reeves, if you count him, Jamie Echenique, Craig Porter, Dexter Dennis, Ricky Council, all in the NBA. We see any of that kind of talent out there right now? And so you've got to, this isn't just some team in the American. This is a team that consistently puts players in the league. It's a program that has made a head coach a top five paid head coach in the country. That's why they should be in a good NIL spot. But unless they start winning a bunch of games, this is not the same donor base as K-State. You don't have hundreds of thousands of alumni who can bridge that. That's not how this works for Wichita State. You've got a smaller group of really big time boosters. And if you can get them excited, it's all you need, because you don't have football. They just can't get them excited because they can't win any dadgum games. And that, you know, hopefully it starts tonight.
And you know what?
In Charlotte.
You know what? Like, if there can be any kind of spark of excitement, any, like, even any, like, glimpse of, like, okay, the page is starting to turn. And I think going back to, like, beating K-State by 20 at home, that should have been a spark. That should have been something that could have turned the page, and you use that to propel you into conference play, all of that. They follow it up with, you know, almost, or they struggled against friends at times, you know, in that game. They followed it up with losing to some of the worst teams in college basketball in conference play. I mean, that spark has totally been extinguished.
And it wasn't just K-State. They had other good wins against good programs. Like, that's
the
crazy
in the country
thing. I don't know where this came from. We're coming back, hour number two. Stick with us. Three-man booth here for Sports Daily. Don't go away.